just be the start of a dynasty. This is history being written. The greatest moment I've seen in Premier League football.
Hey, welcome back to Across the Pond, an English Premier League podcast hosted by four Americans. And tonight you've got four here in D.C. A great weekend, fellas. Holiday weekend.
One of which is not eligible to run for president.
Yes,
we just found out
Shay is not eligible to run for president.
No, we knew the rule.
I did not know that.
That's pretty sad. For you and your dreams. But, Jen, a big Premier League weekend we just went through. I don't know. We have a pretty well-established title race now. We have a relegation battle really starting to come together. Maybe some people are coming to grips with their teams going down to the championship at the end of the season. We've got a Miles coming home next month.
Allegedly.
That's the name of this week's episode.
Miles, how long have you been abroad?
4 years.
He's coming home.
Not consecutively, yeah, though, right, home. Miles?
I mean, he's
visited. Yes, consecutively.
What? No.
Yep.
How do you not know this?
Damn. But no, because I thought he'd been
back. He came
back
World Cup.
Because Shay and I have a close relationship.
Yeah, now, we see each other on the side.
Feels like, yeah.
I see you.
That's true. That is true.
Well,
okay,
you're going to see more of him soon. A lot to chat about this week. We had 2-4-3 matches. We had Arsenal beating their London rivals in Chelsea, Spurs beating their London rivals in Fulham, and we'll talk about that, Jacob. And then we'll have an honest relegation conversation here today with Sogometer updates and much more. But, fellas, I think first we have to talk 4-3 action. I mean, the first game of the weekend, Wolves-Leicester 4-3. And I thought was one of the most entertaining matches of the season. I'm glad a match like that was the only match on TV at the time because, you know, frankly, Wolves-Leicester wouldn't have been televised had it been at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm. I know. I thought the game was getting away pretty early. I think it was a couple weeks ago. Man City went up, early over Bournemouth, and the game just kind of fell apart. And we could all go back to sleep and not worry about watching the rest of that game. But if you didn't stick with it, you really missed out on best game of the season so far. Maybe if not topped by the 4-3 Liverpool Palace shortly thereafter. But, I mean, Leicester and Wolves are just two teams I just cannot predict. I can't figure out if they're going to be any good.
We were saying the week before how bad Wolves were against City. And I actually picked, because of that, our analysis last week, I actually picked them losing this game.
But they also just beat Tottenham in a couple matches prior to that.
That's the Premier League.
Watching that Tottenham game and watching this game, you really get the sense that that Wolves are such an established team in their system, and they don't give up when they go down. When they went down against Tottenham, they were clearly, I thought that game was over. They just stick with their system and they keep playing their football and, you know, they don't give up until the end. I saw that same heart against Leicester. You know, they found the space. They kept hitting them on the counter. That Neves pass was beautiful. Some excellent, you know, last minute grit.
Yeah.
They've come up with good results against big teams. I think they're what we predicted at the beginning of the season. Which was that they were coming up with, top half, coming up with clear structure, a good system, good players. Interesting coach, and like what it takes to make it into the top half of the tip.
Well, on the Leicester end,
on the Leicester end, it's very simple.
I mean, it's
Johnny Evans, no bueno. Wes Morgan, no bueno.
No Squarey Maguire to save them.
No, and Danny Simpson was really poor. He got beat by the header by Jota on the, I think it was the first or the second goal. It just looks like, you know, there needs some leadership and some consistency.
Second week in a row where there's been heartbreak for Claude Puel as well. I mean, it's just,
that did look like heartbreak too.
Now let me ask you guys this, because I've seen reports saying that like a lot of Leicester fans want Puel out. How do you feel about this? I mean, this is a Leicester team that obviously won the Premier League a few years ago and are dealing with a weird area of expectations here. You know, they're losing to a Wolves who've been newly promoted. They lost to a Southampton team who's really in the relegation fight every year now. And Puel's former team, who he was sacked from. So do you keep a guy like that in? Do you change it at this point when Leicester's sitting in ninth, but really in the middle of this echelon? They're really not far from 17th if you look ahead at the next 15 weeks.
I mean, it's just a matter of what's the expectation for Leicester. So what they did a couple of years ago was nothing short of miraculous, right? And with that in mind, you almost think you can't duplicate that. So you just have to put forth a consistent effort where you're challenging for Europa, right? And never really in a relegation battle, but maybe 3 or 4 signs away from being a Champions League contender. That's like their best case scenario, I think, indefinitely, yeah. Right? And they've done that when they beat City. They've showed signs of that when they beat Chelsea. But at the end of the day, I mean, we're working with a few spectacular players and very high abundant amount of regular tier players, and that's why we see the inconsistency.
Right. I guess the same thing that might get Claude Puel sacked is the same thing that got Tony Pulis sacked. Right, as you know, he was keeping Sunderland right where they should be. He was keeping West Brom exactly where they should be. Stoke. He was being a consistent manager like you expect, just not winning in an attractive way, managing to keep them up and above expectations.
Getting some key results.
Key results. I mean, if you're a Leicester fan, are you not entertained?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I would ask.
Yeah, but, you know, they're still, you know, they still got some of that magic from when they won the league. However, I mean, we're forgetting they did lose their best player, arguably their best player, this year with Mahrez, and I don't think they've really replaced him. Madison's pretty good, but they haven't really captured that kind of quality yet. It doesn't really seem like they kind of work together as a team well.
Well, I mean, the Jamie Vardy Spider-Man act midweek.
You can shoot ropes and lay ropes on whoever you want, but you know, and scare people. But you got to bring it to the field.
Also, one more thing about that match is Nuno charged with misconduct for charging the field about a celebration, which I think is just ridiculous. What is the FA doing?
What a ridiculous! When he ran across the whole line of field across the opposition's touchbox.
He went to go celebrate, man.
It's the same ref that when Klopp rushed the field, and he didn't send Klopp off, you know, so where's the consistency?
I think there's
here?
A difference there, because Klopp ran straight out to Alisson in his own half of the field. He didn't cross technical boxes. Like, yes, Klopp was wrong. He should not be on the field that far. But if Klopp had sprinted across to celebrate with the players in the corner, then that would be
too much British etiquette happening for me for this stuff, man. Those are the FIFA rules.
Let the team celebrate.
Yeah.
No, you're right. That look of despair from Claude Puyol was the same sort of look from former Leicester manager Ranieri. Fulham losing at the death. This is it. This
he
is my
had
nightmare.
His entire face covered, just like bawling in his hands.
You guys watch Arrested Development? I've made a terrible mistake.
Over to the other 4-3 match. Liverpool over Crystal Palace at Anfield in a pretty crazy thriller. You know, Liverpool with the red card, a lot of back and forth. Liverpool securing a win after Mane's late goal. Jacob Miles, I mean, a lot went on in that match with a pretty thin Liverpool defense. What do you make of it?
Well, I mean, I turned to our friend John while we were watching at the bar before you arrived, Chris, and we both sort of looked at Milner and said, this is going to be, you know, a nightmare day for him.
As it was.
I mean, both tackles, kind of needless, terrible tackles, especially the second sending off. But if TAA isn't coming back. You know, I've read the media reports going both ways. It is looking awfully thin back there. My only problem is then just looking at the bench. Liverpool tried to approach that game as Liverpool of last year, scoring 4 goals, you know, to beat a team, rather than being up 3-1 and consolidating for the win. And they did not have the players to bring off the bench to do that. Lallana, Camacho. There just wasn't enough depth there, which is something that we've not grown accustomed to. We got to see what happens with these injuries, and I'm still hopeful that there'll be some signing of a veteran reinforcement.
Yeah, agreed. I thought taking Fabinho off was a little strange, because that's the kind of player that's the exact player you need in that moment, especially taking him off for, you know, an attacking player in Lallana that I really didn't understand. But we should point out, you know, Crystal Palace last year, you know, started the season horribly. This season is a team to reckon with. I mean, they have a solid defense. Liverpool scored 4 goals on them. It wasn't easy. I mean, and they have, you know, that pace up top. Zaha is a tricky player to deal with. And guys, Townsend is having the season of his life. He's already he's matched his total. That goal, he thumped it in. I
just
want to
say
a statement to you, Chris.
That goal was actually beautiful. The way they broke the Liverpool press and then attacked Milner and it was actually.
I mean, Milner
you know,
just completely left on an island.
Yeah, but
there.
Say what you want to say about your boy Andros Townsend, Chris. I mean, he is your best friend. But he peeled off Robertson right around from the back post, ran around 3 defenders to arrive at that ball. It was a great run. And
I mean,
the finish
took some skill.
Very nice.
So if I had to put him anywhere on the swagometer, he's up to orange in my books. I mean, it was a good finish.
I thought they would
Isn't
be in trouble.
Goal of the 2019 so far with
I mean,
that shot.
He's going to have if that goal doesn't win the Puskás Award, there better be something pretty special.
I'm just gonna hang up.
Chris,
headphones.
What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna hang up my headphones and leave this podcast.
But no, Palace do still have those key flaws. I mean, they're starting with Andre Ayew up top, who I hardly know, and they brought Connor Wickham on.
Wickham.
Benteke is nowhere to be seen. If any of a team was in need of like a center forward, like Andy Carroll or somebody along those lines, it would be them. Because you're right, they do have threat. I mean, they have pace in wide areas and actually relative, I think, hard-working midfield that I think they could be a lot better.
Characteristic of all Hodgson teams, they're very organized. At the back, they sit back, they hit him on the counter. I mean, he's done quite a lot with that team. It's very impressive.
Let me ask you guys, could Allison have saved any of those goals?
Yes.
He looked beatable.
I think two of them he probably should have saved. But, I mean, you know what? Keepers even have their bad days, too, and when that happens – you're lucky if you can get away with a result. And I wanted to ask Shay this question because personally I felt when Palace went up 1-0, for the first time in a long time, I was fairly comfortable that Liverpool was going to come back and still win that game. It was early enough, it just with the way they've been playing and the way the goals have been falling. But did you, Shay, think that Palace could have gotten the result
over
the weekend?
I mean, I think this is what – one, I didn't think Liverpool was going to lose their game. And take away from their title run, you may say, to Crystal Palace. I think Crystal Palace is a team that, much like we just talked about Leicester, can always challenge. But unlike Leicester, they don't have the final ability to actually finish games off and win.
They beat City.
They did, but that's the only noticeable win of the season. Looking back at their schedule and who they've won, I think that's the only game that you can say they should not have won completely. I think, however, though, statistically, Liverpool dominated the game in every category. Crystal Palace had 3 shots and 3 goals. I don't think I ever saw Crystal Palace actually winning that game. And you may say, okay, this is characteristic of Liverpool of last year, the bad defense, but I wouldn't take it for more than it was in that moment, just having an off day.
Thin roster. Yeah. I mean, the Klein loan move, if they don't sign someone, as Jacob said, I mean, you really have to question why Klein was sent out. Unless he absolutely demanded it. It might have been an ultimatum situation, like,
I
need to go.
Sure, but you might as well, if you're going to sell him at the end of next year, you might as well showcase an asset and see what happens.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
So you're saying sending him to Bournemouth was adequate?
In the moment, if you're going to give room to youngsters to come up, sure.
So what do you guys predict then? With Milner out, how do you think Klopp's going to play this? Do you think we're going to see the likes of Fabinho in the defense again? Do you think Moreno's going to come in? What do you guys predict there?
Yeah, I mean, I think Klopp's got to get creative. I think you either put 3-5-2 and puts Fabinho back there center back thing and have somebody else out wide. At that point, you could play Milner out at a wing back and be okay. Maybe this calls for something crazy, like you put Moreno and Robertson in. I don't know.
Lallana
could play
Milner,
right back.
So it's 3 games for Milner? It was a straight red?
No, 2 yellows.
All right, well, in that regard, they play Leicester next, so I'm not too concerned. I mean, I think there are areas you can service on the wing.
Jacob Miles, last question. Do you guys think Liverpool will make a signing to push on for the title before the window closes in 10 days?
No, probably not.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think they will. I think that's what's made the Liverpool approach so impressive, is they've been very restrained. And as Jose was saying on Keys and Gray on BN Sports this week, amongst other things, but he was very much like, that's what he likes about Liverpool. They see their man, they get their top target, they hit it.
And it looks like, they've turned all their attention to signing, contract extensions anyways. So
good news indeed.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about these North London derbies that we had this weekend, relegation and Swagometer stuff, just like that. All right, guys, we are back. Fellas, Arsenal-Chelsea this weekend, which is always a pretty interesting fixture. The crazy part is, I'm so used to these fixtures being Mourinho-Wenger, now it's Emery-Sarri. Just a different look. Both teams in general just look so different now. But Arsenal won 2-0. I did not expect that. This is an Arsenal team that I think – doesn't look anything like Wenger anymore.
I mean,
in my eyes, and I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying like it just felt different to watch that fixture.
Yeah. Well, if anything, I'm just happy about the result because it gives United a chance to climb to that fourth place spot. So
it opens the doors up.
It does open the doors up, which I like very much. You know, I like the fact that teams letting us slide right in. Pause. But I mean, I thought it was. To what I've been saying this season, I think Arsenal's a very good attacking team. I just didn't expect Chelsea to get just beat like that, to be honest. I did not expect that. And I didn't really see many chances, minus the one they hit the post on. But
There was the Pedro chance. I thought he could have done better. At that point, it was already 1-0. But sorry. Look, it's his first season. You know, they had that amazing start, and now it's time, for them to come back to earth, just like Arsenal, and their very fast start. It will take some time for Sarri ball to bed down, but he's obviously very stubborn. That's the style he wants to play, and he's not willing to bring in anybody else. You know, why not bring in Giroud to play center forward and move Hazard out wide? He's not willing to do that.
It was.
Well,
so
that
I would
be
give
a problem.
Him.
That would be a problem.
Yeah.
Well, that would be a problem with Higuain.
If,
but
to be honest,
he's going
to
shift his style.
I mean,
Hazard should be playing out wide, plain and simple. He's, I think, more effective out there, and that's where. That's
or you
where
play
he's
him right behind the striker, you know. Like, I think Sarri is kind of, you know, undoing himself in his, you know, stubbornness to stick with his system until it works. You know, you hear the commentators always going on about why is Conte playing where Conte is playing, you know, and it gets tiresome. You know, where they're telling, well, they need a striker. It gets tiresome, but. You know, you see in a game like this, it's kind of the same thing that happened when they played Spurs. You know, Chelsea just in the middle, you know, has nothing going on. And up top, they have no threat. The biggest threat in that game was coming from David Luiz. I mean, that ball to Pedro,
we
saw that the week before. I mean, that's crazy that if your center back is the one that's providing the most threatening passes, like there's something wrong going on there when you have the likes of Jorginho and Hazard and Willian and Pedro, who are all great passers on the ball. I mean, and then at the end of the match, he comes out saying that it's hard to motivate those players.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well,
that's not a good sign.
Well, we do know. No, he said they're not the type of players that will fight. And I think we do know that, I think, to be true, based on how we've seen Chelsea be a yo-yo team under Mourinho. You know, they played hard for Mourinho, then they decided they weren't going to have it anymore, stop playing, and then a new manager comes in, and then they decide that they want to turn it on. So I think that's actually a fair criticism of this team. But that is very dangerous, you know, because we know that locker room potentially has that capability or the tendency to do that. It could be dangerous for him. However, I'm counting, and I'll say it, I'll admit it, it's a shame. Morata was a flop. It's too bad. I mean, we were both.
Going back,
I'm just so happy.
Chris and I were hyping him up.
I'm just so happy United.
Yeah. Chris and I were hyping him up.
No, I mean,
two years ago, that's also
the similar hype that we saw for Fulham this season. But no, I
true.
Mean,
well,
you're not
one's very different.
Good.
I mean, Morata had scored goals.
I told y'all he was not going to work.
You did.
And I'm going to say the same thing about Higuain. I really don't think Higuain's going to work either.
That is just
well. He's
silliness.
Not gonna get. He's
well,
not gonna get
nothing,
much time to make
to
it
prove
work.
That he won't.
That's the
work.
Problem.
But my question there is, I thought Arsenal won the midfield in that game. Then you think, okay, Aaron Ramsey started, played well.
Yeah.
And they're just letting this man walk out the door, and Ozil is on the bench because they know that they need that reinforcement in the middle, but they're letting him walk out the door. I don't understand it. You know, if you have two of your best players, is it because you're just so stubborn in the fact that you do not want to make them fit into the system, but you know that you need them to win games?
I mean, we're seeing it on both sides with Sarri and Emery here. You know, it's like ideology versus, like, results at hand. And the crazy part about this to me for both these managers in their first seasons is there's just not a lot of time to get things right in the Premier League. I mean, you look at, like, all these big clubs and how quick people are to sack managers. And, like, both Emery and Sarri, frankly, I don't see either of them at their respective clubs longer than 3 years.
Really?
Just because of the climate. I mean, like, I'm surprised.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
I mean.
Unless they win something.
I mean, I think there's no pressure on them. Obviously, there's no pressure on them this season because Liverpool and Man City are just so much better. But there is a pressure on them to perform and make the top four consistently, obviously. And I think they're doing that.
I think there's no pressure on Unai Emery. I mean, I think people thought, listen, it would take a while before someone comes in and can get it right after Wenger, especially after the Man United experience of taking how many years to sort of get something that – exactly. So the fact that they can still be competitive in the first season after, I think, says something. As for Chelsea, I mean, it was –
Chelsea, they don't have a long lifeline for managers.
Exactly. I do agree with you, Chris. The league is so competitive that if you don't get your shit together, you're going to find yourself outside the top four. I agree there.
And the fact that Sarri is compromising any sort of chance at equalizing against Arsenal by not adjusting faster and putting out that lineup. And, like, if you're an offensive player trying to come back from a 2-0 deficit when you have nobody to pass the ball to is the most frustrating thing ever.
I cannot believe they got outshot like they were not even by such a high margin. Yeah, you got to change it. No doubt about that. But to Sarri's credit, there are a lot of pieces on that team that have already signaled that they don't want to be there next year.
Yeah.
Willian, and Hazard has been perpetually saying he wants to go. You know, I think – in certain ways, you know, he's going to have whoever comes into Chelsea and whatever happens at the end of the season, it's going to be a very tough rebuilding process for them to lose such key pieces. Even if they keep Higuain, if he scores loads of goals and they keep him for the next season, they're going to need to bring a lot of pieces to that team. Pretty much the only player he brought in this year,
Kovacic
on loan.
Sure.
Yeah.
On loan.
Kovacic has, for me, I mean, has done nothing. I mean, Barkley has proven himself, I think, in the past when he's come on to be a player that does have real fight and can be a game changer. I don't know why he hasn't earned. I mean, who am I to criticize what goes on behind closed doors, right? But Barkley is I think the person that could bring that fight to that midfield. And I don't know why he continues to be on the bench. He's having his own kind of revitalization there, but.
Right. And then you think, well, it's just not a deep team like we thought they were. If Higuain does not make a big difference in terms of allowing Hazard to play in his natural position and, you know, allowing them to have depth on the wing and, you know, but we know about the – I think they would be the lesser of the three teams competing for the fourth place spot.
Well, yeah, let's look at that real quick. I mean, you have Tottenham with 51 points, injury prone, barely scraped through by Fulham this weekend. Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester United all within – you know, 3 points of each other. Which team here looks most vulnerable to really fall out?
Yeah, well, with United's hot streak, I'm not including them as being vulnerable at all. I think they make the top four now. I'm getting more and more convinced every week. I think Chelsea now is a team that I have as being outside looking in. But then we need one more. So who would that be?
Well, I don't necessarily think we need one more because I think Tottenham, Man City, and Liverpool will all finish comfortably in the top four.
That's what I'm saying. We need one more team. Like, I think Chelsea's the only
other candidate that would fall out. One of Arsenal, Chelsea, and Man U, or sorry, two of Arsenal, yeah, Chelsea, two, and Man U, yeah. Man U aren't going to make it. And so, if the most likely one to drop is Chelsea, but outside of that, I think, you know, it's 50-50 between.
I agree with Shay that I think Man U is in great form to take that fourth place spot. Under Solskjaer, they've been consistent with wins, and Arsenal is, you know, still a little bit inconsistent and weak defensively. I mean, with Koscielny back, it strengthens it. But I think I think Chelsea's going to be the one to drop. I don't think Higuain's going to really save him.
What do we
and
make?
I think
of
Jacob's
the,
right.
What do we you make know, of the Koscielny shoulder goal?
Yeah.
Intentional or not?
Well, he should have scored either way, but definitely not.
That was the most beautiful shoulder goal I've ever seen. I don't even know how you could do that with your shoulder.
I don't think he knew he could do that. I think the hair on his head is starting to, like, unbalance his, like, figure in general. And he's just, like, he's just a little off kilter everywhere.
That's why you practice all scenarios in practice.
But know? I have to say it right now, Lacazette's goal, I mean, butter. I mean, the way he just took that whip ball in. And
what a touch.
And sad to say it, but Bellerin's season done. And, you know, we're just going to have to come to terms with that.
Well, we'll know he'll be.
Sorry, Chris.
There's no doubt he'll be modeling some new
no,
crutches
yeah,
or
this doesn't mean
knee brace.
It'll be great for you.
He can still wear one dope shoe.
It does not have to stop his modeling career, or at least your version of his modeling career that's posted on your IG.
All right, guys. Real quick, Spurs late drama over Fulham at Craven Cottage. Sad to say that Fulham fans might be in trouble here.
Yeah, I think so. Well, what a point that would have been for them. You know, that could have just made them feel good about themselves, you know, taking a point off a top team.
They're
so just
good
too far.
With Babel on the field.
They did. Well, they looked like they had some real threat. He brought a lot of energy to that team. I even thought Seri looked good, and I think he's been terrible all season. But, you know, they just don't have the juice to get it across the line, and that's a real. I mean, it's just a shame. It's too bad. I feel really gutted for Claudio Ranieri because like he's genuinely such a nice man.
I mean, Odoi was crap. I mean, Ream looked so bad.
Their defense is terrible.
It's bad.
Yeah, but we need that mouse. We've been talking about that.
I know, but you I mean, come on. If you know your defense sucks, why are you not working your ass off to get some loan signing?
Or do you criticize the last 2 minutes of play? I mean, you know,
yes.
Fulham, like
yes, you do.
Just as from a like professional standpoint, absolutely. Like even bad rec teams know how to kill off leads.
They were going for win. They were going for the win. I mean, I think that's how much a W would have meant. But you know, the happiest player out there was Fernando Llorente.
Oh yeah,
I mean he must have been relieved.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Scored a lot of goals at a very very high level, and he got in the right positions. It's promising. I mean, he's hardly played any first team action.
I know, but he had seasons with Swansea. Yeah. Like you know, it's
been a while since I last saw you. Yeah. Hold your head up,
guys. Fulham is relegated then? Is it too early to call, or are we calling it?
No, I think Fulham and Huddersfield are permanently down, sorry to say it, to all our good friends in the pod, Max Cohen, yeah. Nate Scott.
They're in a leaky submarine, and they're sinking.
But Cardiff, you know, you never know. Cardiff, only 5 points up. Anything could happen.
I mean, they signed Salah. They're Salas, right? I mean, if they get some goals going, you know, maybe, just maybe, but poor Fulham.
So the question is, will Fulham exceed the most goals ever scored in the Premier League?
No. Most goals conceded. Not the most goals scored. Most goals conceded.
I said conceded.
You said scored.
No, I said I said conceded.
Is that scored?
No, I said conceded.
Don't sound so conceited.
The tape will tell us. But we should start a live tracker.
I mean,
this is true. We're going to live track them.
Yeah.
Can Fulham do it?
Can Fulham do it? Will Fulham do it?
Will Fulham do it? What are we at now?
The poll?
51.
Say, this is going to be your new Is Mourinho Out. How many goals has Fulham conceded?
51, right?
All right.
And how many more do we need?
89 by 10.
Well, they've got Brighton up next. If Brighton can put 3 past them, you know, then we'll really start seeing it.
They'll be fine.
A Glenn Murray hat trick. Tottenham, how concerned do we have to be about Tottenham sans, you know, Dele Alli, Harry Kane, Song, any other injuries?
I think very concerned. I think drunkenly this weekend I said Spurs would be okay, but I'm very concerned. For Spurs and Jacob, you seem to think they're shooing for top four, but
yeah,
I don't. You know, one bad month, and they got real fortunate to get 3 points here. But had they not, again, man, Fulham is arguably the worst team in the league. I mean, Harry Winks can't save you every week.
Their run of games isn't so tough.
I think
Spurs has that is kind of their saving grace is that they have some quality players on the bench, and they also just have the Spurs players know the system so well that, you know, they can slot in and out and still be okay.
Boss.
You know, that's what I think that is a real team.
All right, guys, you know what time it is. It is time for the Across the Pond Swagometer. The Across Pond Swagometer, remember, we're tracking key movement on and off the field, social media, goals, tricks, skills, headers, shoulder goals. What else we got? Celebrations. We got a few of those today. Remember, tweet your suggestions our way at ATP Radio on Twitter, and we will discuss where they go. I think first, guys, we got to look at the red zone. And the first person for me, fan favorite probably, but I'm putting Jamie Vardy in there. I mean, the Spider-Man thing midweek, it wasn't even hype. Like, he was hiding in behind the Jamie Vardy dressed
poor
as
execution.
Spider-Man.
Poor execution.
Hiding behind the training fence, jumped out, started spraying everybody. They weren't scared. They didn't find it funny, and then they lost. I mean,
that's pretty bad.
He must be bored there without Mahrez. Like,
yeah, I bet he's regretting that he didn't move.
To Arsenal back in the day.
It could be Arsenal's.
Could be.
Gosh.
No, I think that's a fair shout. I would also. So this goes into both the red and the green at the same time.
Oh, a double.
It's a double. So one will go one way.
A 7-10
one player
split.
Will go one way. The other will go the other. So Mitro, turn him all the way up. Man level 100.
Yeah.
Davinson Sanchez. What are you doing? That's red. How dare you? You come. You know what? There's a line from The Wire. It's one of my favorite lines. I think it's Omar says.
Yeah,
like,
he says.
You come at the king, you best not miss. Right?
Shout out to Omar on The Wire. So we should put Omar up there with
Davinson
us.
Sanchez. Oh, yeah. Davinson Sanchez. What are you doing?
He got DDT'd right on the field.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't even
I would
try.
Not. I mean, honestly, Mitrovic is the kind of guy, not only will he just beat your ass right there on the field, but also his whole family and his cousins and his, like...
tracksuit friends?
Mitrovic has got some people that would roll up in
why,
some
why
fucking
Why are you
trash-stitching?
Like you said about me with Zaha.
Mitrovic, don't come for me. You know, I'm putting Jamie... I think we got to put James Milner down there, too. Not only did this guy get sauced by Zaha multiple times throughout the game, he got a red card after two yellows from his former manager, John Moss.
No, PE teacher.
Yeah.
Oh, PE teacher.
From his former teacher. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Straight down the tunnel, too. Didn't even stop.
I don't think this man – I mean, this guy has been in the Premier League for too long, performing at a high level. He can never really be in the red zone.
All right, what do you want? We'll put him in orange.
Yeah, he's. I mean, he's, he can play every position.
Yeah.
Got it.
The dude is a G at every position.
All right. Anyone else for orange?
No, I only have players on fire. I only got real swag on my mind.
I think we gotta bump Townsend up a little bit.
I was gonna say the opposite. I think we should put Chris in the red or orange until Townsend has a bad game.
I kind of agree.
Because he's been consistently playing well.
Yeah, he has.
I think he deserves to be. Okay. What we should do is we should have a Chris and Townsend meet it, and they should go in opposite directions.
That's true. They're
every time one, every
they're
time one does
linked.
Bad,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. I think
so I'm orange. He's
Townsend's
lime green.
In green, man.
Yeah,
you're far red.
Do not say he's lime green.
Can
do
I say why he is?
Green right now.
Let me put the argument there, Chris. He's matched his Premier League goal tally record. He scored against Liverpool the opening goal. He had build up play, put that great cross in the build up to the final goal.
Bro, he's
going to
have goals.
You're doing
doing the
Claude Puel.
Okay, how about this? If you just to be fair and start it from, you know, a neutral zone, why don't we put you guys as close as possible in the middle, but you being on the
left side
on
of non swag.
And then every week we
Townsend's
move it,
green.
We move it.
Okay,
Chris,
so we're both putting
orange.
A square in the yellow.
No, dude.
Townsend's green.
Next to each other, but you're on the yellow, he's on the greener side.
Okay. But the only thing that might elevate Chris, guys, was this weekend. And listeners, Chris had a moment of pure brilliance. We were trying to go get some food after being out watching a day of soccer. Some adult beverages had been drank. Chris stayed on one side of the street. We all crossed, and a bus passed. And when the bus left, Chris was gone, like in a stride. he did some Leonardo DiCaprio catch me if you can shit out there.
It was the Houdini.
That's
what happens when you drink a lot during Premier League matches. I mean, you just find ways out.
But still.
Okay,
Townsend's
it's
killing.
It's fine. I like the symbiotic relationship there. It's happening.
No, parasitic. It's parasitic.
Parasitic. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm also putting John Moss in the yellow zone. I think you got to put him. Let's put him on the map. Let's show some more refs some respect. He gave two yellows. Let's put him in the yellow zone.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Fine. Fair enough.
Maybe we could put Koscielny in the yellow for his shoulder goal. I don't know if he really deserves green for that, but
I mean, it was kind of like great for Arsenal fans to get that goal, but like. Everyone knows he didn't mean to do it.
Yeah, no way. I mean, his head has proper form.
<That's>
but
fair.
It just but
so you say so you say
is
his shoulder is in the green, but his head is in the yellow.
Okay, let's head towards lime green, guys.
I got two nominations. I think I want to put in first of all, I want to put in the three amigos of Jota, Jimenez, and Neves.
Ooh, because
they were all really good this weekend.
Wolves trio.
Wolves trio. Jota with a hat trick. Neves, 50-yard ball.
I mean, should we just throw Nuno in there for celebrating with
him? Yeah, throw Nuno in. He threw himself in, you know?
So you're saying the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, is that what we're going to call him? and then also from that game, probably my new favorite British player, because it's just, I think, the most quintessential English name. The youngster who scored in his debut for Leicester, Harvey Barnes.
Harvey Barnes, yeah.
So great.
Yeah.
So great.
He looked pretty good out there, too.
He did.
Yeah, well, you know, as we have the youngsters coming in, guys, we also have an old favorite going out, Glenn Johnson retiring. I think we got to give the man some credit, you know. He was a hope for us at Liverpool for a while. He put in his dues. You
won
don't think
the,
we
won
should
the
give
Premier
him a little
League
bit
with
of
Chelsea, right?
Yeah, we should give him a little bit of swag there.
Premier League winner.
He won the League Cup with Liverpool, won the FA Cup with Portsmouth.
So my question is, do we put Glenn Johnson with cornrows on the swagometer, or do we put Glenn Johnson without cornrows on the swagometer? I mean, it's like what jersey are you going to the Hall of Fame with?
That's right.
Yeah.
What's he going
with? That's a good point.
The Rose?
I think he was better with the Rose, man.
Okay. All right, guys. In the Forest Green, I mean, I only have one nomination this week, and he was already there, but I mean, sauciest goal of the weekend, sauciest celebration of the weekend. You got to give it to Laka Sauce. I mean,
such a chill vibe, though. It's like almost like he's like, he can't be bothered with these, you know, insignificant moments of him scoring because it happens so frequently.
Wait.
It's just so casual.
But at the same point, shouldn't we put in the Aflac duck? If you guys haven't seen that tweet going around, the duck that was waddling down the street celebrating like this.
Like Lacazette?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that, but I can see it in my mind.
I do love his handshake with Aubameyang.
That's nice,
too. That's fire.
It's great.
Let me ask you guys this. I mean, because I really don't know who's there, but I would argue that he's the highest ever recorded on the meter. I mean.
Yeah. What do you mean? Because
he's consistent.
I'm just saying, like, this season I haven't seen That's
because Sturridge hasn't been playing the season. That's why. Yeah. If not, he would be on there.
Well,
can we
have an honorable mention for Fabinho and Firmino?
Yeah,
linking up. I mean, that was. I mean,
but no Firmino celebration. I mean,
he had the dance with.
That's swaggy though.
That is swag.
I also think Salah needs to be up there as becoming top scorer this season.
You know,
he started from the bottom this season.
We tossed and turned with him. You know, really, he's just too nice of a guy. You know, I've been looking at his stats compared to all the other great Premier League offensive seasons against Ronaldo, against Rooney. There's a great tweet put out comparing their best seasons against Salah's best two seasons. Mm-hmm. And Salah, with 15 games left, has a chance to have the best two-season run in the Premier League ever. Just, of course, everybody's focusing on his diving narrative. But I have to say this. One thing that struck me more than the goals and assists and chances and all that stuff is he only has one yellow card since he's joined Liverpool. I mean, he's just like a pretty, I mean, all-around innocent guy.
But do,
like,
do strikers get a lot of yellow cards?
I mean, Ronaldo had 7 in that span. You know, maybe it was for dives and other things, but like.
Oh, for
I love that Rooney, he just quietly gets the goals too, you know. It's not like you just kind of know he's going to score. He just quietly does it.
Yeah.
I mean, that first goal that he took with the outside of his left foot, when it easily could have been taken with, you know, everyone else in the world would have taken it with the right, but he goes with the outside of the left. Pretty swaggy. But, you know, the only person from that game that I think actually honestly deserves to be anywhere on this swag meter has to be Julian Speroni in the green, because this man is out here using Just for Mengel, coloring his beard and hair, looking very fresh on the occasion of his first Premier League start in, 3 years? I mean, come on.
I mean,
2 years?
While I agree, very well groomed, the guy also conceded 4 goals, and 2 of them were directly his fault.
Well, to the second.
His beard was full.
That's true.
Okay, thank you.
That was the first thing I noticed.
We put his beard when they showed him.
So you put him in the green. You put him in Forest Green.
The guy's
green.
A walking advertisement.
Just the beard.
All right.
His hands in the
you heard it here first.
Yeah, just the beard. We can
He's
split
locked
them. We'll
and
split the difference. Hands in the red, beard in the green. I mean, personal grooming takes a high position in this pantheon of
beards. This is true.
Fair enough. All right, guys. Any final thoughts today? All right, guys.
Oh, Peter, happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday to
Peter. Happy
birthday,
Peter.
What a guy. We saw him this weekend.
I'm going to robot dance my way Peter Crouch style out of this podcast.
Thanks for everybody for listening. Guys, please, if you're listening and you like the show, please give us a rating on iTunes, review, 5 stars, all that jazz. We appreciate it. Make sure you tune into the games next weekend. You can find us on AcrossThePond.co, HP Radio on Twitter, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, Google Play Music, and more.
FA Cup.
Or Across the Pond.
It was FA Cup.
Jacob's the one who said he doesn't care about FA Cup this season.